You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Today is Saturday, June 17th, 2023, and I am Dan Keller with today's headlines. Tenant union pushes back against high-pressure landlord. The Canadian Disability Act finally heading for final approval in the Senate. Forest fires push Waterloo Region's air quality to the most dangerous levels in a decade. And Indigenous Solidarity Day Unity Jam in Waterloo Park. To start, tenant union pushes back against high-pressure landlord. The recently launched Acorn Tenant Union of Waterloo Region is organizing a demonstration with tenants who are targeting a landlord they claim is trying to evict all the residents in two buildings who are paying less than market rates through a rent eviction process. The buildings at 267 Trainer Ave and another on Aaron Street, both in Kitchener, are owned by landlord Mike Beer, a real estate developer based in Toronto who also provides services for investing in real estate. His website boasts that Mike, quote, has never lost money on multifamily real estate investments, unquote, and that he has, quote, raised millions, unquote, and that you can, quote, build the true financial freedom and wealth by learning how to safely invest in passive real estate, unquote. Included in his social media is him on a cruise ship talking about making money off of rent. Acorn organizers and building tenants claim that only tenants who are paying less than market rate are being targeted by the rent evictions. The demonstration, which starts at 3 p.m. near the Fairway Station Transit Loop, will then march to 267 Trainer Ave, where there will be a rally. Rents have been skyrocketing in Kitchener over recent years, with the average price of a one-bedroom apartment in June being $1,847. The long-term residents involved in this action are paying much less than that and know that they cannot afford the massively inflated prices. We will have updates as the situation develops. CKMS News tried to contact Beer for comment but did not receive a response by broadcast time. Next up, the Canadian Disability Act finally heading for final approval in the Senate. Bill C-22, legislation aimed at supporting disabled Canadians, has been sent for final approval at the Senate. Activists and advocates have been fighting for years to increase federal spending to support disabled folks, and this bill will provide some support, but problems remain. For example, the support will end at the age of 65 when the recipient becomes eligible for old age support. Kitchener Centre MP Mike Morris, who has been championing the bill for the past years, noted that, quote, disability does not end when you turn 65, unquote. Also, recently, Minister of Employment, Workforce Development and Disability Inclusion, Carla Qualtrough, quashed an amendment put forth by the Senate to ensure access to funding regardless of private medical insurance coverage, citing constitutional concerns. Morris, however, questions this amendment rejection, saying this could be a massive subsidy to the insurance industry. Expect the bill to get final approval in the coming weeks. I spoke with the Green Party MP, Mike Morris, about his reactions to the impending approval, which he sees as a stepping stone for more concrete supports, and what this bill will mean for those in Waterloo Region needing this increased support. Here is an excerpt of our interview. So C-22, the Canada Disability Act, has been sent along to the Senate. This has been a bill you've spent a lot of energy getting passed. Is this bill that's going to the Senate the bill that you wanted? Are you proud of it?
Huh. Well, it's the disability community that's been pushing for the Canada Disability Benefit and a guaranteed income for people with disabilities for years and years. And I've just been amplifying their calls since being elected, because from my point of view, it's a national embarrassment that we have 40% of people living in poverty who are living with disabilities. And it's my view that if we want to be addressing poverty in this country, we should be lifting up every person with a disability out of poverty. Now, the reality is that the Canada Disability Benefit Act is significantly flawed. It, has severe limitations, including, cutting off the benefit when a person turns 65. And, a disability doesn't end at 65. Why should Canada Disability Benefit? But all that being said, it is still a step in the right direction. It's going to lift what has the potential to lift some people up out of poverty. Many of the decisions are left to regulation, so it remains to be seen everything from who is going to be eligible to how much the benefit will be. We don't have those answers yet. But one of the amendments that I got through to the bill requires that people with disabilities will be meaningfully engaged in the development of the regulations where these decisions will get made. And so that gives me some optimism that the disability community will have a seat at the table and will be able to influence what will be some really critical decisions coming over the next year.
Look for the entire interview on our website. Third, forest fires push Waterloo Region's air quality to the most dangerous levels in a decade. According to statistics from the Air Quality Health Index from the Ontario Ministry of Environment, Conservation, and Parks, the air quality in Waterloo Region during last week's inundation of smoke from the climate change-fueled forest fires that were blazing across Canada was the worst in at least a decade, including the only level of high since at least 2014. Bad air quality is a health risk for many, including elderly folks, kids, and people with respiratory issues or suffering from a respiratory virus such as COVID-19. While the air is clearing a bit here, smoke still blankets much of Canada. As of June 13th, which is around the start of the usual wildfire season, 47,000 square kilometers have already burned, with 431 wildfires blazing across Canada. To contrast this with 2014, which was previously the worst wildfire season on record, where 46,000 square kilometers burned over the entire year. Environment Canada predicts continued forest fires over the summer, so be careful out there and check the notes for this show for links to the air quality monitoring sites. Finally, Indigenous Solidarity Day Unity Jam in Waterloo Park. With the tagline, Love, Lax, and Land Back, a Solidarity Day Unity Jam and lacrosse game will take place in Waterloo Park on June 21st. Taking place on the summer solstice and National Indigenous Solidarity Day, this free event seeks to celebrate solidarity and unity in honoring the Grand River, upholding Haudenosaunee rights and land stewardship in the Haldimand Tract. With local partners, the Longhouse Hub, Kafka, and Ose Kenionatate, also known as Landback Camp, the event is hosted by Protect the Tract and will be featuring music in the bandshell at noon until 4 p.m. from Brock Stonefish, Layla Stats, Nigel Irwin, and Unity Jam regulars, the Unity Jam Band, who have played in previous Unity Jams in Hamilton, Toronto, and on the 6-6 stage at 1492 Landback Lane. The friendly lacrosse game is open to all and starts at 10 a.m. Workshops on Haudenosaunee beading are being hosted by Bead the Tract throughout the afternoon. Protect the Tract is demanding a halt to new developments along the Haldimand Tract, which includes most of Waterloo Region, without developers first gaining the consent of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy Council. I spoke with Protect the Tract organizer Courtney Skye about the Unity Jam and the importance of honoring the treaty relationships, which were a basis of sharing the land between settlers and the Haudenosaunee. Here is a short excerpt of that interview.
So my name is Courtney Skye. I'm Mohawk Turtle Clan, Six Nations of the Grand River. I am co-director of an organization called Protect the Tract. We're a Haudenosaunee-led public education campaign raising awareness about a moratorium on development that's been put in place by the Haudenosaunee Confederacy Chiefs Council and an event that we're hosting for June 21st, which is Haudenosaunee Knowledge is Indigenous Peoples Day, but comes from work around solidarity organizing that Indigenous communities have done. Historically on the day, we are going to be at Waterloo Park. Unity Jam is... And a lot of Indigenous artists coming together to be in solidarity with one another through our acts of resistance and celebration and making music and hanging out and just having a good time with one another.
All right. What excites you about the day?
Just excited about the day and hanging out with musicians and hanging out with friends and seeing people and visiting. It's always a really inviting time and meeting new people. So very excited to have this event take place in Waterloo.
How does the Unity Jam further the work of Protect the Track?
Well, we want to invite many people into a conversation around the future of the Grand River watershed and to have conversations around what does our future along the Grand River look like. So we want to have a conversation about it, but then we also recognize that this is a treaty-based relationship and our original agreements and treaties don't talk about us being in conflict or fighting with one another. They talk about us being in partnership and friendship with one another. And that doesn't mean that we always have to be in conflict, but we can have friends and relationships and invite people into a meaningful conversation that's respectful, but it can also be fun and friendly.
Check out the CKMS News website for the full interview with Courtney. I also got a comment on Indigenous Solidarity Day from MP Mike Morris.
I did have one. If you'll be around the region for Indigenous Solidarity Day on the 21st of June, and if so, will you be attending the Solidarity Day Unity Jam and Lacrosse Game hosted by the Protect the Tract organization?
It'll depend on whether Parliament is sitting still next Wednesday.
All right.
If Parliament is sitting, I'll need to be here. We'll be raising the survivors' flag on Parliament Hill during and really pushing on the federal government to go further when it comes to implementing the calls for justice from the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls inquiry, of which they've only completed two so far. And so if I'm getting to be back home by next Wednesday, I would love to join you for it, but if not, that's where I'll be.
You have been listening to the headlines for Saturday, June 17th, 2023, from CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. This is Dan Keller, and thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at canada-info.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.